This will be the last session, as Brent said, that we do like this in the School of the Prophetic. What we're going into after this, I'm calling it Streams of Revival. We've invited for the next 2 months, almost every week, we've got people coming in from all over the place. From Katie, Sousa, Robin McMillan, who pastored Rick Joyner's Church in Charlotte, Morningstar. Jacob Martin, who pastors a really cool church up in Virginia. Mike Christie, one of Todd Bentley's associates. This guy's got the fire on him. We just got a lot of people coming in. And it's just this revival intimacy. Come in and get wrecked. Enjoy the presence of God. Just get stretched. And just really go jump into deep end. And so that's what we have coming up the next couple months. It's going to be very powerful, guys. It's the fire of God. We're just really contending for the fire of God, for that revival fire that you birthed in here. We're just going to stir up the ground, stir up the water, and see what the Lord does. And then in July, we're going to have Joan Hunter come back, do a healing school with Joan.
Mark Berger coming?
Mark's in August. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we have other speakers. That's just for the next couple months. Yeah, we got other people coming. I haven't even put on the calendar yet. So we'll have talk to Jim Bergs when he's going to be back. Power! Remember Jim?
No.
Oh, I know.
When is he coming? He's coming back.
Glory!
Glory!
I knew who you were talking about. You said that.
Yeah. Jim was so cool, wasn't he?
Yes.
Oh my,
he was anointed. What else? Diane was talking about the Sterling House, the Country Biscuit, RCS. What the Lord showed us, or what I felt that the Lord was showing me, is that as a church, when we equip the body of Christ, it's more than just teaching. We have to have a place where you can do the stuff. Mm-hmm. The goal is, as you go, is to make you feel so comfortable that you're naturally supernatural. Mm-hmm. That we have been told, don't be too spiritual. You know, don't go too far out, and it's hindered us. It's hindered our growth. And the goal is, as you go, you do the stuff, and it comes naturally. You've overcome the fear, overcome the intimidation of it, and that person needs healing, and your thought is, well, of course they're going to get healed because I'm getting ready to pray for them. Mm. And if they don't, you go, what happened? Not the other way around.
Right.
When you go up to give a person a word, of course you're going to get one. Because you have the gift. You've developed the gift within you. It's developed. You've practiced it. And you just know through practice, of course. I'm going to be able to give them an accurate word. God sent me to a tent in Bayboro, North Carolina, with Pastor Brown. And when I was just sitting in a church, and the Lord says, this is where I'll train you. And some nights there's only 2 people there. Other nights it was high as 30. But there was no place in town I knew where an inexperienced person like me could go out and learn to flow in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Learn to, and it was okay to make mistakes. And to really get to do the stuff, someone had to give me the chance. Someone has to say, go for it. This is called Pitfalls in the Prophetic. And being around prophetic ministry, I've seen an awful lot of mess. I've seen a lot of abuse. I've seen a lot of people try to control me, try to manipulate with the prophetic. And it's in my heart as we've been doing this, is I believe we're going to have a prophetic company here people that, just like a prophetic community, Morningstar has really built one. I just believe the Lord wants to establish one here. But it's with integrity.
Yes.
And there, we'll make mistakes, but I want the mistakes to be honest mistakes. Mm-hmm. Mistakes that we learn from. You know, the best mistake is one that you fall forward on. Yeah. Pick up and learn. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to talk about the pitfalls and traps to watch. We're going to talk about the prophet Elijah first. You know, the Bible is so cool, and God was really smart when he wrote this, right? Is that your faults, if you were in the Bible, your faults were in the Bible just as much as the good things about you. And it shows us that we don't have to be superstars to be used by the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah. Just you know, these guys, Elijah had the same temptations we did. He was a person like us, the Bible says. But that guy operated in such a power anointing, such a power of ministry. There was no one like Elijah until that point. And when that mantle came down on him, the prophetic authority that he carried was incredible. When he spoke, things happened. It wasn't just, you know, God says that he loves you prophecy. You know, the guy carried a power anointing on him. The peak of that, of his ministry, was when he was on Mount Carmel. And he confronted the prophets of Baal. And I have that section here, 1 Kings 18. And just, he was by himself. And the Baal prophets were false prophets. Just think of like the New Age people now. And there was like 450 of them. And he mocked them. He says, let's see what your gods can do. Right? I mean, that's faith. You know, let's take the wood and let's build the altar. And then we're going to soak it with water. We're going to get this really wet. There's no way you can strike a match and light this thing. And then we'll see. He says, I'm going to call fire down from heaven. Now, that's a guy that knows Apollo, right? I mean, he knows God. But he knows the authority that he walks in. He knows his identity. You know, Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, if you believe. He believed it. And he was just like us. Imagine yourself in that situation. Put yourself in Elijah's shoes. God is going to send fire from heaven and prove to you guys that he's God. We got to get to the point, it's in the prophetic that you know that you know. You know that you know. There's a difference between being a risk taker and being presumptuous. There's a difference between that and spending time on your knees in prayer and coming out and you know what the Lord told you. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's how he knew. So, if God trusts someone like Elijah with this much power, he's got to have very good a character, right? He's got to be perfect, right?
No.
But he's got trusted with so much power. I mean, just when someone walks in so much anointing, do you automatically assume that they've done something different than you? Or that they have more character than you? I've made the mistake in the past of being around very prophetic people who walked in great authority, great anointing, and great power. And then when they tell you something that's off base, you give that more credence because of the anointing that's upon them. People can break through at one point in their lives. Get a breakthrough in the gifts and then later on use the character, lose the character. And they can still operate in that anointing. And they can still operate in those gifts.
Wow.
Pastors can, which we've seen them before, seen them public ministries on TV, can be in sexual sin, yet for a period of time preach powerful service sermons and see people healed. I've seen people that operate, flow in the prophetic so powerfully, yet whack out, go off base. And, you know, I only use three examples in here. I could have gone on pages and pages and pages, because the Bible is so good in pointing out people's flaws that, you know, don't do this. But on the other hand, you don't have to be perfect to be used by the Lord.
Amen.
And so I just want to break that lie off of you that you can't be used, that you're not ready. Elijah, he calls fire down, has those prophets of Baal killed. I mean, this was an incredible feat, right? Awesome. Love to see this on CNN. Incredible. And then Queen Jezebel finds out about it. Gets mad and says, it's going to happen to you. You kill my people, I'm going to cut you down and kill you. Now, this is a guy that called fire from heaven. And he's scared of a girl. He's got a big bad girl. He's scared of her. So a guy that was so full of faith, so full of fire, cannot handle rejection. That's Elijah's flaw. Elijah was rejected by the authority. Jezebel. And he went into self-pity. He went into depression. He ran. He hid. And this was a guy that called fire down from heaven. People that operate in great anointings can have great faults. Rick Joyner tells of a vision one time where being on the mountain of the Lord, and sometimes we're at the bottom of the mountain and we're looking up and we see these great people God uses. And they seem like they're on top of the mountain and we're down here. But you know, on top of the mountain, it's steep. And one wrong step and you can fall. You can fall any place at any level in ministry. At the very peak, he plunged into discouragement, resentment, self-pity, persecution complex, and then he became bitter. Discouragement, when you have rejection, it's the initial stage. If you're in a prophetic ministry, you will receive rejection. If you're in life, you will receive rejection. If you're in church, anywhere, someone's going to reject you. And this happens when people don't understand. You know, I look at my past, I've done things that were immature spiritually because I didn't know. You know, you're just so full of zeal sometimes. You have more zeal than common sense. You know, and you just go forward. And, you know, people reject you. And sometimes you just want to crawl back in a hole and say, well, the heck with it all. Resentment comes when we feed on the discouragement. We feed on it. We feed on it. We feed on it. To compensate, you elevate yourself by criticizing other people. Point out the faults in other people. Self-pity, persecution is the next thing, Elijah. Oh, woe is me, I'm the only one left, the only prophet left. You know, Lord had to tell him, you know the story, 7,000 more, Elijah, you're not the only one. I've heard two pastors say, I'm the only one preaching God's truth anymore. I've heard that. And when I hear that, I go, ding, 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 warning bells real quick.
Yeah, self-pity.
Or I'm the only one in this church that runs after God. I've heard that stuff. I go, oh, man, Elijah. Elijah complex. Nothing works out. Satan's always attacking me. Where is God? I'm the only one speaking the truth. Other ministries don't understand me. Self-pity and persecution. Bitterness comes after that. It's a hard and a critical spirit. When pastors, apostolic people, when they become a bitter, it's really tough because they can hurt an awful lot of people because they have that realm of influence and they try to control people. You know, I've been under them before. You know, I believe the church leadership model is kind of like as a pyramid. Often, from what I've seen in the past, it's the pastor at the top, and it feeds down to the church as a pyramid. The Lord showed me it needs to be upside down, where the leadership of the church is undergirding and shoving everyone up into their potential. And that's what we're trying to model here. Is we just want you to, you know, could you imagine a church full of people in their destiny, doing everyone doing what God's called them to do?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
You know, taking away the fear, taking away the walls, but being accountable to each other in love. That's what we're after, guys. So, Elijah, you can go through each of these stories, and there's stuff like that. Jonah was, everyone knows about Jonah with the big fish, right? You learned as a kid. Jonah was the most successful evangelist in history. Mm-hmm. One sermon and a city repented. Lord, I want that anointing. I want it.
Surprise.
Someone that has that much preaching ability, you think would not have any character issues. I mean, why would God give that much anointing to one person? You ever heard Billy Graham preach? You ever watch? I mean, this is a good example of preaching anointing.
Yeah.
I love watching these old crusades that he has on TBN. And he gets up there and Billy preaches that simple gospel message, and people knock each other over to run to the altar. And you go, anyone can preach that message. It's a simple message. But there's an anointing on that.
Yeah.
There's times that, when, especially when we're overseas doing these crusades, I know when I walk into that anointing, that evangelistic anointing. I could get up, and I know when it's there. I could get up and read a recipe on how to make cookies. And I say, okay, who wants to get saved? And people rush the altar. There's just something about when that anointing comes. Jonah had it. He carried that incredible anointing. And you know the story. He didn't want to go. God told him. So Jonah went fishing. He was the bait. Fish didn't like him. Threw him up. All that stuff. He finally said, okay, Lord, I'll go. He preaches his little sermon. The whole city turns and he cops an attitude about it. Runs up under the tree. And the Lord revealed to his heart. He said, it pleased Jonah. He prayed to the Lord. Why has this that I said, why has this happened, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, because I know that you're a gracious, compassionate God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness. And I knew this would happen. I knew they would get saved. I didn't like them. I knew they would get saved. And Jonah had suffered from a pride. He was selfish. You know, we don't think that when we have pride and selfishness, but how many of us know we're supposed to do something that we don't? That there's a call of God upon our life and we're kind of lazy about it? I can admit that. He certainly had a lack of compassion. These are pitfalls in the prophetic. That's what I'm talking about. He was more interested in God's punishment on people than God's mercy. He was more concerned with his reputation than the people that that God would send him to a minister to. It's kind of like maybe, okay, I don't want you to be the preacher to the country club. I want you to be the preacher in the slums. I don't want to do that. Maybe that's what this place was. I have no clue. But, you know, the best place to be is where the Lord calls you, right? The Peter pitfall. Now, Peter, he's an apostle. Cornerstone of the church, guys. Come on. Hung out with Jesus, right? Really anointed. His shadow heals people. That's an anointing. The guy's shadow healed people. When Jesus was arrested, Peter was at the campfire. You know the story. He denied the Lord 3 times. They were asking him, aren't you with Jesus? Aren't you one of those guys with Jesus? And he denied knowing the Lord. The problem was he was not only denying that he knew the Lord, he was denying his inheritance. He was denying who he was. Many of us deny our inheritance. Well, I don't prophesy. I can't do that. Or I can't do this. That's denying our inheritance. Oh, it got quiet. When Jesus said it was finished, and the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, what else does he have to do? Nothing. He's given you all that you need. Now there's our part to contend for it, but we have all that we need.
Praise God.
The church has the same power residing in us, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have everything we need to take this area for the Lord. We have everything we need to turn this city upside down. We have it. You have it. I've said before, this prophetic class is not as much to impart, but to awaken what's already in you. We are a prophetic generation. You are a son and daughter of the Most High. You are a supernatural person. When you were born again, you were born into a supernatural lifestyle. You have everything that you need. Overcoming rejection and fear. Rejection and fear is the greatest enemy to prophetic ministry. It's probably the greatest enemy to any ministry, but certainly prophetic. Learning how to deal with rejection. Went through this again. When we grow in the prophetic, we grow in any type of gift, in any type of ministry, we will make mistakes. Rejection will come from those mistakes. Rejection will come when you don't make a mistake. How we handle that and what we focus on is so critical. We are all wounded soldiers at some point. Each of us walks with a limp. Every single person in here walks with a limp to some extent. Guys, that limp can be so powerful when you turn into compassion for others that have been through that. You can allow God to take your place of woundedness and weakness, and through His power, make that your greatest strength. From your place of woundedness, the greatest anointing can come. You know, that's why we stress sozo and inner healing. We all need it. with the leadership and stuff. It's mandatory. We go through it each year ourselves. We just believe that, you know, we're all wounded, but let's make these wounds our strength, guys. Mm-hmm. Let's go forward with it. Yes. David and Saul, the story of David and Saul is a great example. Both David and Saul had the opportunities to be great prophetic leaders. Both experienced rejection. Both had the same opportunity to be great kings of Israel. Both made mistakes. David overcame his rejection by pouring his heart out to God. If you read the Psalms, you can hear his agony as he just poured his heart out. David would just get on his face, and he took his fears and he took his rejections and he gave them unto the Lord. And God is so gracious and kind, and God healed his heart. No matter that the mess-ups that David did, because he would keep going back, pouring his heart out. I mean, he killed someone. He committed adultery. He committed murder. But his heart was after God. And God healed him and would restore him. And David became a great king, that the Son of God came down his family line.
Wow.
Saul had the same opportunity. But he turned. He went the other way. He let his heart become hardened. He sought out witches, mediums, because he wasn't hearing from God anymore. And he was rejected as king. But prophetic etiquette and the guidelines. You know, an awful lot, the things that we talk about, they're not rules, they're not hard and fast rules, they're more guidelines to help you. Let me just run through this. Just remember that we know in part and we prophesy in part. Be comfortable knowing that the words you give, you may not understand. The greatest mistake, one of the easiest mistakes I've made in my life in the prophetic, is trying to interpret the word into my understanding. I'll start out with a correct word, then I try to make it make sense to me, and I mess it up. Mm-hmm. You prophesy in part. You certainly may not understand what you're saying. It may make no sense to you. The times when I've pushed myself past the uncomfortableness of giving a word that makes no sense, because if it makes no sense to you, you tend to think in your mind, this is probably not true, because I don't understand it. But you got the word. So when you push yourself past that uncomfortableness, I found every time that's the most powerful word to that person. And they'll break down crying, or, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that. It was the most left-field thing that I could have come up with, right? Eagerly desire to prophesy the right way. Just remember that God speaks in many different ways and people. I love it when Brent tells me how his son speaks to him prophetically. We'll say things and go, wow. Learn to recognize the voice of God in anyone.
Yes.
Even people you don't like. Be secure in yourself, knowing God made you in your own unique way. Don't copy other people. There's a joy in being free and being yourself. And just when you get set free in that, you don't have to be like anyone else. Remember, the spirit of prophets is subject to the prophets. Timing is of the essence. Some things should not be revealed, but pray for it.
Yes, right.
Try not to prophesy head knowledge. Something to keep in mind. Prophesy from love. Always prophesy with grace, gentleness, and wisdom. Avoid negative prophecy. Remember, we prophesy the answer, not the problem. God may only give you one word or a sentence to start to prophesy. If that's all you got, just go for it. You don't wait. We did that example with the box of the tissues. that one word that comes, the one tissue, when you pull it out, the next tissue pops up. It's like that with the prophetic. You can have one word, but once you will not get the next word until you speak the first word. And you go, well, this isn't enough, God. It's called faith. Just go for it. Remember that prophecy will never contradict the written word. Always follow the presence of the Lord. A good time to end a prophecy is when he leaves the conversation. A single word can be more powerful than a 15-minute prophecy given in the right season. Don't despise the small things. You don't understand it, it may mean everything to them. Always perform a heart check on yourself before prophesying. Lord, is there anything in me that's just negative that you need to take care of? Do I have anything that someone that I know? Do I have any issues I got to deal with, Lord? Just check the status of your heart. Remember that your gift will make room for you. The anointing makes room. The hardest thing I've had to learn in ministry is patience. It's so hard when people see the anointing. When people see the presence of God on you, it makes room. Doors open. Let the Lord do it. Don't try to establish yourself with your gift. Never try to control or manipulate a person with a prophetic gift. I have seen that time and time again. It's so common. So common. I was in a service one time where 9 people in a row, I heard a prophet say, you're supposed to leave your church and come to my church. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Wow. I heard that. Don't try to control people with the prophetic. Don't prophesy beyond your faith, but practice and practice to expand your faith. Overcome the fear of deception. What I mean by that is that, you know, let people prophesy unto you. Mm-hmm. You know, and just seek the Lord for wisdom on it. Just knowing not every word you receive needs to be tested. You don't despise it. The Lord says don't despise prophecy, but test everything. We sometimes have fear and we call it discernment. And it's not discernment, it's fear. Smile when you prophesy. God is in a good mood.
All the time.
When you make decrees, when the Lord calls you to decree something, do it with authority. It releases heaven. Guys, breath mints are anointed. Knock them over with your gift, not your breath. You know, I've actually taken courtesy drops because of bad breath. I remember this one time, this person was prophesying to me, and they were like right in my face, and it was a true prophecy, but the breath. So I kind of looked, made sure a catcher was there, and I said, I'm going to make this easy. Oh! I was like, they just kept prophesying. I said, oh, I'm good now. I can concentrate on the word. Breath mints are anointed. Always carry them. Use normal language when you give a prophetic word. I don't believe God speaks in King James English. I don't believe he speaks in Christianese all the time. You know, we got to be relevant to this world. Just be yourself. It's the best way to be it. When you prophesy the words, thus saith the Lord, personally, I don't believe they are necessary. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you attempting to do? The word's supposed to be tested anyway.
Yeah.
If I say, thus saith the Lord, does that mean you're supposed to pay attention to it more? Just let the word speak for itself and let the Spirit of God confirm the word in the person. Learn to be naturally supernatural. Guys, that is my goal and my dream. That we can raise up people who are naturally supernatural. It's just a natural part of our life. It's not flashy or gimmicky or in your face. It's just natural. Yeah, my shadow heals the sick. Sure. God, when God reveals something, He wants to heal it. Which means, if the Lord gives you a prophetic word, sometimes you need to do something with it. You know, if God tells you someone has cancer in their room, it's probably because He wants you to pray for them. Search out people with a mature prophetic gift and hang around them. Find people who can prophesy stronger than you, nuzzle up to them and learn. Saturate yourself with the prophetic experience of others. I would saturate myself with prophetic experiences from the Bible and just read them and read them and saturate until I started to have those experiences. I would read, you know, Revelation 4:1, I saw a door in heaven that was open, and read John's experiences about encountering the Lord. And I just had a desire, and God, I just want to have these experiences like Ezekiel and Isaiah and John had. I want to be part of my life. And I saturated, and I built my faith until they started to happen. Submit to authority and a personal mentoring relationship. I've got like 3 or 4 people in my life that, you know, when they speak into me, I take it very seriously. Very seriously. And I just had someone speak to my life this week that I didn't want to hear it, but I'm submitting because I trust them and I love them. And we need wisdom. We need to counsel people. Mm. We are all under authority and in authority at some point in our life, each of us. We need to have both sides of it. Allow your prophetic words to be examined and tested without taking offense to it. Always be humble. Do not allow your pet doctrines to influence your prophetic words. Prophetic evangelism is powerful. When God gives you a word for someone you don't know, that can be an open door to lead them to Jesus. That is powerful. And do you know how you get words like that? You ask. You start getting a mode of asking for that all the time. Wherever you go, Lord, you have a word for a person in the stores I go in? You start getting them. You have not because you ask not. Remember, the power of life and death is in your tongue. Whatever you speak has power. As you grow in the prophetic, the authority that you carry will grow.
Yes.
Choose life. Live your life to be a friend of God. Intimacy is your highest call and purpose in life. Spend time in the secret place, not just reading the Bible, not just praying in the car, but in that place where you shut the door and the deep parts of you call to the deep parts of God. If you would practice that in your life on a regular basis, the deep unto deep, and not live a shallow Christian experience, but that deepness calling unto Him, your life will be so radically transformed. Anointings and ministries are birthed in the secret place.
Yes.
Set your mind on heavenly things. Stir up the gift that is within you. Remember, holy desperation lays hold of revelation. Ask and expect angelic and God encounters in the supernatural. Ask and expect them. Guys, I expect angels to show up.
Yes.
I expect encounters with Jesus. Like John had. I expect them. Practice an open heaven in your life. Remove anything that would close heaven above you. Learn to see with the eyes of your heart. When you pray for someone, ask them first. When you're going to lay hands on a person, ask them if you can first. You're doing two things here. First of all, if you ask, can I pray for you? Yes. Is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder? Yes. You have an invitation at that point. I've been in services and prayer meetings, or not prayer meetings, but evangelistic services, when I'll go down to the crowd. And the ones in the front, they come up. I assume I don't have to ask them, because mm-hmm. they're coming up wanting prayer. But when I start going back into the crowd, then I start to ask. And I'll never forget, I was thinking about this. I was writing this. I was thinking about this one time. I was in Santo Domingo. And I went up to this girl, and I walked up to her, and I said, ooh, she doesn't want prayer, I can tell. I mean, she was freaked out about the whole thing. And so I went up to her, and I said, can I pray for you? She goes, no. Okay, have a great day. And I just kept going down the line. She waited till the end of that service and came up to me at the very end. She said, I would like you to pray for me now. Hmm. Asking will help you get in timing with the Lord.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit has to prepare their heart. She sat and watched me because I kept looking over, and she was, man, her eyes were glued to me. And I'm praying for people, and they're falling out, and some people are getting healed, and God's moving. And this is probably, I mean, she was away from God, but she was seeing the power of God. Mm-hmm. And that's when it stirred up. By the end of the service, the Holy Spirit had prepared her heart. The Holy Spirit had broken up that hard, fallen heart within her. If I would have just gone up and prayed for her, you know, she probably wouldn't have done anything to not make a scene, but she would not have received it. Asking gives you the invitation. Always remember, an inaccurate prophetic word does not make you a false prophet. It makes you a prophet in training. Allow your mistakes and failures to be learning experiences. You will make mistakes, but always remember, God is bigger than your mistakes. Clean up your own mess. If you make a mistake, take care of it. Apologize. Tell them you're learning. Whatever. Clean up your mess. Okay? If a word involves direction, you know, God's really telling me you're supposed to quit your job and go to Africa to be a missionary. Right? That's a directional word. I would involve, especially if it was someone in a different church, I would get that person's pastor for a directional word like that. There's counsel. There's wisdom and counsel on stuff like that. Always remember that prophecy can be a potential word or a conditional word. Remember the words that the Lord would tell Israel, if you obey my commandments, and if you don't have a hard heart, then I will do this. When the Lord spoke to Joshua, and the Lord gave him the parameters of the promised land, of where the nation of Israel would be established, Joshua had to go into the promised land. Israel, to this day, has never taken that full land they're supposed to take. It was a conditional word. Israel compromised with pagan tribe. They did this, a bunch of stuff like that. They've never achieved, in Joshua 1, I believe, the promise that God had for them. That's a conditional word. You can give someone a word that, you know, God wants you to go to the nations. He's going to have you preach before thousands, right? That person's heart changes. They turn away from God. That does not make you a false prophet. A lot of those words are conditional. I had gave a prophetic word to this pastor one time. He was kind of well known. I was so scared, but the word was burning in me so much. He was an incredible teacher and was known all over the country for his teaching ministry. And the Lord showed me that there'd come a time where the healing anointing on him would be known as great as his teaching anointing. And I would have gave this word to him. A few years afterwards, the man died. So I started thinking about that. Well, did I mess up? You know, because the word didn't come to pass. And I talked to a couple people about that. And, you know, first of all, if you don't take care of your body, you don't take care of this temple, you can die an early death and not achieve the potential that God has for you. And we believe that was part of it. But I was counseled with two people on that because I just wanted to check myself. And they both said it. That was a conditional word. Remember, always strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Invest in your prophetic education. Contend for this thing, guys. Fear is a demonic spirit. If you're getting ready to step out and you feel the fear, recognize it's a demonic spirit. Mm-hmm. Fear is not discernment. Fear is demonic. Defeat it in the name of Jesus. When someone tells us that we have a sickness in our body, cancer, we fight that, right? I mean, chemo, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, change my diet. You know, I'm going to do whatever the time. You aggressively go after that. I'm encouraging you to aggressively go after fear. Each of us contend with that at some point in our life. Aggressively attack fear in your life like it's cancer. Root it out of your life. So you were only moved by the word of the Lord. Amen. That you move forward when you hear his word, and you don't move forward because he told you not to do it. Amen. Resist condemnation. The enemy is an accuser.
Yes.
Resist the fear of making mistakes. You're going to do it. Just get over it. Get over yourself. And go for it. Walk on the water. Depend completely upon the Holy Spirit. You know, the Lord's really been stirring in me about that. I'm going to start to write about that. But, you know, what should a relationship with the Holy Spirit be like?
Yes.
I mean, I can remember, you know, after I got saved and I started hearing about the Holy Spirit. They didn't talk about the Holy Spirit in the church that I went to, except when we sang a little song after the offering. And that's the only time I heard the word Holy Spirit. But I would read about it in the Bible. And things like, well, it seemed good to me and the Holy Spirit to do this. And it's better for you that I go so he can come. I'm going, who is this guy? And so I remember picking up reading Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. And I'll never forget reading that book. And I get into it for 5 minutes, and this electricity would start going through my body. No one told me about this, right? I put the book down and go, wow. Mm-hmm. And I get up and I walk around, pick the book up again, read it, start shaking, put it down. What is this? No one was talking to me about this. I didn't have these type of people in my life. You kooky Christians. And finally, I got to the point where I'd say, I really want to know you like this guy's talking about. I want to know you, Holy Spirit. And I started practicing. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I wake up. Good afternoon. You're going to eat lunch with me, Holy Spirit. Sound kind of silly, but it was incredible. What does it mean to fellowship with him throughout your day? What are we missing? I was praying one time, and this whole thing confused me about it, you know. And Father, Son, Holy Spirit, oh, this is getting so confusing. So I prayed, and I said, okay, I want you three right now. This is just me, right? I said, I don't want to offend anyone. But I'm feeling inside of me, I'm supposed to worship the Holy Spirit. I've never done that before. And I said, so, Father, I don't want to talk to you. Please don't be mad. I don't want to talk to you right now. And Holy Spirit, you definitely have to be quiet because I'm talking about you. So, Jesus, I feel that you're telling me that I should worship the Holy Spirit. And I heard so audibly, he goes, I died so he could be with you. Guys, that's powerful. We need to depend completely upon Him as our best friend. We need to experience an intimate daily relationship as you would a spouse. A daily walk with Him. And lastly, the course of a person's life should not be changed by one prophetic word. There's no evidence in the Bible. I don't care who gives that word to you. I don't care what apostle, what prophet, what big name person gives you a word. Everyone's fallible. The Bible says, test the word. Talks about two or three witnesses. And there needs to be a confirming feeling within you. A comfortable feeling. Yes, this is it. When people say things like, well, all prophetic words should confirm what you already have heard, that's not true. Because the word of knowledge is about a past event. What definition of a true prophetic word is about something in the future. And something in the future you may not have even thought about it yet. And so no one word should change your life. The multitude of many people counsel is critically important. Hearing from the Lord for yourself is critically important. And when you get the peace in your heart, then you move. Amen?
Amen.
What, do you want to have some fun? I need three people who feel like really stepping out in faith. I'm not going to tell you what. Come on. Give me three great people who are secure in their identity in Jesus. And know who they are. Come on. Okay. Each of them is going to pick out a person and they're going to prophesy over them in public.
Wow.
I was at a very cool service recently with Abner and a couple guys, and we had to prophesy over everyone in the room. And I didn't have a word for one person when I got up there. So you cast out and get the fish. And I said, Lord, what's that all about?
People,
when they fish, they have creative ways sometimes to catch fish. There's a science to it. Yeah, a technique to it. That's a perfect word. The Lord's going to give you a technique to talk to people about. It's just going to draw people unto Him. And where other people, you know, don't know how, and, you know, some people are hard and have walls up and other people can't reach Him, God's going to give you a technique to be able just to cast out and just be a witness to people. And when that starts to stir within you, just remember back to this word and just go for it. And that you're going to be amazed at the walls that you're able to bring down. And just the way you're going to be able to speak in people's life. And you're going to see lives change. Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to prophesy over the church.
A church.
This church. Speak destiny words over the church at New Bern. On what God's calling the church to. His promises and stuff like that.
I call the church at New Bern to be a chosen vessel, to be a royal priesthood, to be a nation holy to me. I have called you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. I am going to give you fruit beyond measure. First, there will be small pockets of fruit popping up on different corners of the tree. And some, for a season it might be slow, but then there's going to be a season of increase. Because I am going to increase it for you. I am choosing you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And people will see my face. as you walk, as you talk, as you breathe, as you invite people to come and experience my grace and my glory and my throne. And some of you will see my throne. Some of you have already been taken in my throne room. But you will see this at times at a corporate level. I am a sign and a wonder in your presence. And I have chosen you to be a sign and a wonder for this region.
And I will bring great joy to your interruption, says the Lord. Many of you have wondered if your life is interrupted by the power and presence of God, how you'd handle it. I'm going to bring great joy to interrupting your life. I'm going to reorganize your life. Many of you have been waiting and waiting and waiting for a great interruption. Something that would totally radically change your life, and I'm bringing that to this body of believers. You'll set your day by my time, and you'll set your clock by my time. And the TV would be a mechanism of getting my word, giving my word. And the books you read will be from me and for my people. The images you put in your head will be only to greater bring glory to my kingdom. I'm going to interrupt your lives, and great joy is going to be birthed out of that interruption.
I'm calling you a people that know me. That want to be near me. That wants to dwell in my presence. That wants to know my heart and my heartbeat. People that shows who I am. And that my heart is full of love and peace. A people that will show my reflection. And that people will see the true, my true heart. I've called you to be a diverse people. People from all walks of life. Will come here from every level of income, every station in life will come here and be fed, and will go out a mature believer and minister to other people, and that word as you go will become a way of life for this people.
The Lord walks in here tonight, shows us His power, and you guys just have been fluent tonight, have been showing grace. Lord God walks in, and what people have been believing. Lord Jesus Christ, for He has come today, and though He has put in that power into presence, we open those presents. He's done this 24 hours every single day, healing people every time the court has opened. You have opened the doors, and God has opened the doors. You've walked into it. Now God's going to go into it. But Jesus, He is going to walk in. And see what you are doing in this ministry and in our nation. We just can't wait until today, to the morning. Tonight that you have been sitting here praising the Lord, but you have done it every single day of your life. This is today that God is everything and everything. You guys, your thoughts. Lord will be the top to the finish. And what we have been extolling for 100 years. This church, a little church, these tithes and offerings have been put in good time into your lives. So keep on putting those tithes up into your lives. Come here every single day with joy.